This morning, we begin a series on the challenges women in the military face once they return home. There are nearly 2 million living female veterans. When they return from service, many try to pick up where they left off. Jen Howard of member station WHYY in Philadelphia reports on women dealing with family responsibilities even as they cope with the lingering effects of war. We should warn you that some people will find this four-minute report disturbing.
Here at the Philadelphia Veterans Affairs Hospital, Louise Hawthorne is between appointments.
Hi. Did Ms. O'Donnell call me yet?
Hawthorne is a disabled veteran from the first Gulf War over a decade ago. She was a chemical operations specialist, dealing regularly with radioactive material and biological weapons. She suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder and a number of health complications she feels are related to her exposure.
I've had several miscarriages. I've had a couple of strokes. I was also gang raped in the military 4 separate times, none of which had been prosecuted.
Hawthorne alleges she tried to report the rapes to superiors, but was rebuffed. Today, she's part of a growing class action lawsuit filed in Virginia federal court on behalf of active duty and veteran victims of sexual trauma. But at the time, Hawthorne says she felt helpless. She tried to just get over it and do her job.
We have basically, trained ourselves to act like that didn't hurt, roll with the punches. And so when we come back and we have PTSD, flashbacks, things like that, we deny it more than men do because we say, she's just emotional.
So once she was back, Hawthorne tried to keep her symptoms at bay. She finally had a baby with her husband, but then their marriage fell apart and Hawthorne got sicker.
When I did start coming back and forth to the VA hospital, I would blow off appointments because I had to take care of my daughter.
This Philadelphia VA hospital doesn't have child care. And missing appointments, coupled with self-medication, was a recipe for disaster.
Because I remember one instance when I had laid down. She couldn't have been no older than 5. And I'd taken my medicine, and I was out cold. And I woke up. His little baby hands trying to do CPR.
It's the kind of thing Marcia Four has seen before. She's the executive director of the Philadelphia Veterans Multi-Service and Education Center.
When you're suffering with that kind of pain, it bleeds over. It becomes part of everything that you do.
Four speaks from experience. She's a Vietnam veteran. She says transitioning back to caretaker isn't always easy.
You know, if there's issues or problems, we'll deal with them later. We have to get to the ball game, or we have to go to the grocery store, or so many other things take precedence over our own health.
Four says the VA is working hard to provide better services for women, and things have improved. There's better OBGYN care, and some VA hospitals are opening child care centers. But Four says there's nothing like just talking with other female vets.
They are your sister in arms. They understand you. They understand where you came from.
I was very fortunate because I had that. I had someone I could just call and say, what do I do?
That's Alfia Devon Goodwin. She's an Operation Iraqi Freedom veteran. When she got back, she had 3 kids, a house that burned down, and a new career as a police officer. She recently founded Green to Blue, a group for other veterans who are becoming police officers, too. Each morning, she sends out dozens of encouraging text messages.
So if you need a ride to drill, or if you need someone to call you in the morning, then that's what we need to do. We need to link people up together who can help one another.
Goodwin says another way vets could help one another is with babysitting duties. A favor that could make all the difference for a woman veteran in need. For NPR News, I'm Jen Howard in Philadelphia.
And our series continues today on All Things Considered with the story of a woman making a transition from the military to a college campus.